as we continue our progression, looking at every position on the Ohio State football team and what we can expect from them in the upcoming season, we have made our way to the big men up front, the offensive linemen. Why is this position group so important? What can we expect from these big men in the upcoming college football season? I'll answer both those questions and a whole lot more right here, only on Locked On Buckeyes.
You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Buckeyes fans? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Buckeyes, the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. It is Tuesday, July 5th in the year 2022, and I'd like to thank LinkedIn Jobs for being the official college football recruiting sponsor across the Locked On College Network. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. Terms and conditions apply. On today's episode, we will discuss one thing lacking with this unit and how this unit ranks and stacks up against other offensive lines in the Big Ten Conference and around the country. But first, this unit, the five men up front, bring a level of excitement to the upcoming season that I was not expecting them to bring. This time last year, maybe about a month from now, last in August, during fall camp, there were rumblings, and we talked about it here on the podcast, that there would be four offensive tackles and a center on the Ohio State offensive line last year. Now, those of you that might not have been around last year watching the team and you're saying, well, Jay, wait, normally an offensive line, or maybe you're just new to football, you're getting your Buckeye fix and learning the game at the same time, you might say, Jay, an offensive line, as I understand it, has two tackles, two guards, and a center on offense. You're correct. That's normal. But Ohio State said, how about we put our best five offensive linemen out on the field and said, well, putting Paris Johnson Jr. at right guard and then putting Thayer Munford at left guard, that would be the best thing for us. Putting two tackles at guard and then putting two tackles at tackle, that would be the way for us to be the most successful. We quickly realized that was not a wise decision. And so that's part of the reason why I am so excited about this unit right now. However, let's go left to right and look at each player and why I think this unit, not just because of talent, but because of just them being together and the positioning on the offensive line, why this unit can really help the running game be better than it was last year. It helps CJ Stroud stay upright and move the ball through the air quickly every single time the offense is on the field. Let's go to left tackle. Paris Johnson Jr. is in year three at Ohio State. This is the first time he's going to consistently play the position that he came to Ohio State to play, his natural position of left tackle. Now, last year, I remember him talking and him saying that being able to play different positions and the footwork that goes in there, playing right tackle or right guard or left tackle, the different foot placement, the different stances you're in, the hand placement, the eyes. He says, I can do it all. Now, he wasn't trying to be braggadocious about it or brag about it or make any statements like that. He was simply saying, it's not hard for me to transform and to change from one to the other, which is amazing. Because if you know left tackle to left guard is just looking on the offensive line and seeing where their placement, you don't have to know all the details about the position to realize, buddy, that's going to be a hard transition. But he said it's not. I do think, though, we're going to get the best Paris Johnson Jr., a smooth transition out there to left tackle. Now, he will get exposed. I mean, some of his errors and failures will be exposed because he's playing this position for the first time at Ohio State. And so he's going to be thrown. Defensive coordinators are going to throw a lot of things at him because he is new here. However, I do think Paris Johnson Jr. at left tackle, man, this is going to be one of those players that we're going to be looking back and saying this was a good move for him going to left tackle. He's using his experience from last season, the previous 2 years, to be the best player he can be. And I can't wait to see what's going to happen with him in the upcoming season. Donovan Jackson, 6'4", 300 pounds. I think that he was someone that was fighting to get on the field last year, but knowing he was behind Matt Jones, who was this year's right guard, and knowing that the philosophy of the offensive coach, offensive line coach, was to not just to play guys out of position, he's like, man, I just want to get on the field. I want to get on the field. And we're going to see that left side of the offensive line might be the strongest because these two guys are so talented. I cannot wait to see what 6'6", 315 Paris Johnson Jr. and 6'4", 300-pound Donovan Jackson do in the upcoming season, as Travion Henderson and Mayan Williams want to be the running backs that get better and have a better running game this year. That left side of the offensive line should be solid because of the talent these two guys possess. Luke Whipler, 6'3", 300 pounds. And many people last year, I was one of them, that was saying Luke Whipler, he could start this year if Harry Miller comes back. And now we know Harry Miller medically retired. But I said, he's going to be fighting and trying to fight and earn his spot and keep his spot if Harry Miller returns to the football field. Silly me. I recently listened to Ryan Roberts from the NFL Draft Prospects podcast. It's a tongue twizzler. And he was talking about and raving about Luke Whipler and what Luke Whipler brings to the team and a little bit of the skill set that he possesses. I do think Harry Miller, if he was still playing, he would have a hard time getting that spot back because Luke Whipler, his frame, the way that he just plays a little nasty, like gets a little dirty right there in the middle of the offensive line, and he just doesn't care. I mean, he doesn't care about the guy across from him. He's trying to run him over every time. I think Luke Whipler, with the skill set that he possesses, the interior, and really being the quarterback of the offensive line, we can be perfectly fine with him. Now, the right side is going to be a little bit – I'm going to have to condense this very quickly because your boy's running out of time. Matt Jones and DeJuan Jones together, the Jones and Jones brothers. I'm going to find a name to call them in the upcoming season just to have a little fun with it. Matt Jones at right guard, 6'4", 310. DeJuan Jones at right tackle, 6'8", 360. Some say 370. I'll get some particular and specific numbers about that down the road. But whatever he is, that right side should be solidified as well. And normally you're going to have an offensive line that's going to have less experience on one side or the other. The left side, left tackle, really experienced. The right side, more experienced than the left. And so I really don't think this is going to be a hindrance. Now, I'm going to be watching the first few games to see how Matt Jones is with his footwork, his hand placement, pad level in regards to just playing a different side of the ball consistently this year than he did last year when he came and did spot duty primarily on the left side, played a little right guard last year as well. But DeJuan Jones and Matt Jones, they should really hone down. They should really solidify and concretely say, nobody gets to our quarterback. Nobody. You want to run behind us? Third and 10? Yeah, that'd probably be a bad decision. Probably wouldn't get a run on third and 10. You could, HB draw. But if you want second and 8, first and 10, whatever it is, you want to run behind us, we got you. Remember the Titans, it was left side, strong side for the Buckeyes. It could be right side, strong side, because those two guys, those are the kind of guys I want on my team. I want in the trenches with me as I'm fighting to win. I just want not only a Big Ten championship, but also a national championship as well. Coming up next, there's one thing lacking in this unit. What is it? I'll tell you next right here on Locked On Buckeyes. As the sun comes out and small businesses are back in business, LinkedIn Jobs makes it easier to grow your team. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the people you want to interview faster and for free. Create a free job posting in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Then add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnCollege. That's LinkedIn.com/LockedOnCollege to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. This unit, we can rant and rave and talk about what's going to come with the offensive line in 2022, why it should be better, why proper placement of players seems like a crazy idea, but it's going to be a great thing for the Ohio State offensive running game this year. Seems like an idea that should have been there all the time, but I would not go down that rabbit trail once again. But there's one thing lacking with this unit. It was something that we didn't really see last year, and it might concern some people if there are injuries on the team. I'm kind of letting the cat out of the bag on purpose right there. The depth we saw last year on the offensive line, where sometimes you had Thayer Mumford get bumped out to left tackle, Petit Frere go back to right tackle, DeJuan Jones go off the field, Matt Jones come in. We're not going to be able to see that really this year, because the backups on the offensive line, that's where the depth is not there. If you remember earlier, we talked about the quarterbacks. I talked about how there are only three scholarship quarterbacks on the team, and when I looked at the roster, I didn't see any walk-ons. Talked about how Jack Mello III, Quinn Ewers, and then I think it's J.P. Ondande. I believe that was his last name. Ended up transferring three quarterbacks. Now you thought you were going to have six. Now you have three. So the depth at that position was not there. There's depth at running back. There's depth at wide receiver. There's depth even at tight end. This unit has possibly the least amount of depth that's there. After you get past your first five offensive linemen, something's going to be a little bit interesting. Because as you look at the backups, you have Zen Mikowski at left tackle. Hasn't really played much. Toby Wilson at left guard backing up. Hasn't really seen the field. Jacob James, Enoch Vamahi. I always say his name wrong, and I have to slow down. And then Josh Fryer, who played a little bit in mop-up duty last year, but he suffered an injury, and he didn't play in the spring. He is currently in the rehab process, took it back on the field. And so when you look at all that, you might say, Jay, well, what about the first five? That's great. You are anticipating having Harry Miller this year, which would have put you with a sixth player who could legitimately play on the field consistently. Now, you may want to say, what about the freshman, Jay? No. I am a person that does not try to rely on freshmen to come in. Now, when we get to the defense, this will come back up again with players such as CJ Hicks and Sonny Styles and Gabe Powers and people that are saying, well, these guys are good on the field. And I'm like, if we're relying on freshmen at any point, now you say JS is depth. Yes, but I don't want a true freshman to come in and need to be the sixth offensive lineman and say, well, if somebody goes down, you're coming in. That makes me a little uneasy because he's a freshman. We talked about the inexperience that the Ohio State team had last year and said, well, they're young. Give them a break. Okay, yeah, they're young. I will give them a break occasionally. But I don't want to rely on true freshmen. I do not. What we saw from Travion Henderson last year was extremely rare. You don't normally see that from true freshmen. And if with this unit, with the guys that are backing these guys up, I'm uneasy. I venture to say that Justin Fry is uneasy. Ryan Day is probably uneasy. Kevin Wilson, the OC, is probably uneasy with the different things going on with the backups on the Ohio State offensive line. Normally, you might want to say, Jay, what's the current landscape of college football? Couldn't they go out there and get a player of the transfer portal? Yes, they can. But when you think about that, what kind of player will you go after? How many will you go after? If that player does not commit to you, will you go after somebody else? How quickly can said player learn a new offense? How quickly can said player adjust to your way of doing things? There's a lot of interesting details when you go and try to get players out of the transfer portal. The Buckeyes did go after a left tackle. I believe it was from, I forget the school he was from. But they did go after a premier left tackle in the transfer portal. Did not get to him. I believe he committed to a school down there in the state of Florida. And so, yes, you may say, yeah, Jay, the depth is not there, but is it going to be a problem all year? Absolutely, and I'll tell you why. Remember when I said that Harry Miller, if he was still on the team, that would be something that be an extra player that has experience that could be thrown in at in the interior of the offensive line, allow it to be successful? Yeah, well, remember, yeah, made the statement a few minutes ago. Similar statement. And so without that, let's just say it's not for injury's sake. It's simply because somebody on the offensive line is a weak link. And like we saw last year, somebody's going to get pumped to the sideline. Somebody else is going to get put in. We're not going to see that this year. Now, that was really rare to see as well. Like that type of thing, that was odd, especially at Ohio State, to where, well, our starters aren't getting it done. Let's bring in a backup. And then, oh my goodness, sometimes things worked out better that way. Imagine that. Guys playing their proper position, things work out better that way. The depth that's not here, it concerns me. I venture to say it should concern you. The offensive line at Ohio State and at many schools is not going to get the recognition, not going to get the attention, not going to get the praise. Who do we praise when Trevion Henderson, or who many people praise when Trevion Henderson goes for, what, over 1,200 rushing yards and almost had 20 touchdowns in his freshman year at Ohio State? People look at Trevion Henderson when they should be looking at the five guys up front blocking for him and put that as a group and say, he did phenomenal things because these five men or six or seven, depending on how many tight ends Ohio State has at that time, they did phenomenal things and opened up holes for Trevion Henderson so Henderson could flourish and get loose and take trips to pay dirt. I like the front five. The backups concern me. It's not the end of the world. And my guess is many of those guys that concern me because of just lack of experience and just lack of productivity and lack of really moving up, most of the time those guys aren't going to see the field. Most of your football teams, you might get an offensive lineman dinged up or two, but one that's out for a few games, it's probably not going to happen. And so even though there is a lack of depth, it's not the end of the world. How does this unit, starting off with the line at Ohio State, stack up against other O-lines in the conference and around the country? We'll tell you right here, next on Locked On Buckeyes. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's NHL playoffs and Major League Baseball season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. And BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. The Ohio State offensive line, talented. And as I'm looking at Athlon Sports College Football Preview Magazine, we did this for the quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers. They did not rank the tight end units around the country or in the conference, which is why yesterday's episode did not have a segment for that. This is going to be very, very similar as the unit rankings for the quarterbacks, running backs, and receivers, because once again, Ohio State has the best ranked offensive line, according to Athlon Sports or College Football Preview Magazine, in the Big Ten Conference. I'll go 5-1, and some names will be recognizable. Number five, you might say, whoa, they got that much talent on the O-line. Number five in this ranking, in the unit ranking, the Maryland Terrapins. Number four, Michigan State Spartans. Number three, Wisconsin. No surprise. Number two, the team up north. They got talent. And then number one, the Ohio State Buckeyes. The two most surprising things on here, and I circled them on this list. I didn't go all the way to 14. I didn't write it down. It's number 14. But number 10 is Penn State. Number nine is Iowa. The number nine Iowa really, really shocked me because you think about Iowa, you think about good offensive linemen. I mean, goodness, they had one of the best interior offensive linemen in the country last year at Iowa with Tyler Lindenbaum. So you would expect the Iowa O-line to be really, really good. But to be ranked ninth in the Big Ten Conference behind Minnesota, Purdue, Northwestern, buddy, that is weird. Absolutely weird to me. Around the country. Now, this time I'm going to go 10 through 1. Number 10 ranked team in this unit ranking might surprise you. It'll probably put a smile on your face as well. It surprised me when I went, but when I thought about what happened last year, it kind of made sense as to why number 10 is here, because this unit struggled for this team last year, even though they were the national runner-up. I'll let the cat out the bag once again. Number 10, national unit rankings via Athlon Sports College Football Preview Magazine. Number 10, the Alabama Crimson Tide. Number 9, BYU. Number 8, Notre Dame. I cannot wait for that game, September 3rd. Number 7, Wisconsin Badgers. Number 6, the Oregon Ducks, who will probably be in the Big 12 coming up really, really soon. That sounds really weird. Number 5, Texas A&M. Number 4, Baylor. Number 3, the team up north. Number 2, Georgia. Makes sense. And number 1, your Buckeyes, once again, have the best ranked off of the line via Athlon Sports unit rankings for their college football preview magazine. So let's do a little review about how Ohio State's offense stacks up in this preview magazine, comparing them to other units in the country. Ohio State has the best ranked unit for the wide receivers and offensive line of the country. They're the second best ranked unit for the quarterbacks and the running backs. Number 1 for quarterbacks is Alabama. Number 2 for running backs is Texas. So let this sink in for you really quickly. Everybody's talking about how Ohio State's offense will be or should be better this year, should be prolific this year, should be efficient this year. All of those words that you want to put with a really good offense, you could probably put that with the Ohio State offensive line. So last year, I went back and looked at the preview magazine, and Ohio State's offense really had the same rankings in the conference. Now, forget the exact national college rankings, but their unit, man, I mean, their unit was talented. I mean, best quarterback room, best running back. I mean, you look up and down the list. They were expected to be really, really good. But we did see some failures last year on both sides of the ball. But with this being an offensive conversation, there were some issues on the offensive line last year, some issues in the running game. Passing game wasn't really so much Stroud, but it was sometimes the protection, forcing to get throws out a little bit quicker than he wanted to. Why should this unit be better than last year's when they're kind of stacking up to be the same on paper? See, off the line, guys. It all starts up front. Last year's O-line had some issues. They never got fixed throughout the season. I don't think we're going to see those same things this year. I don't. No, sirree, Bob. I don't think we're going to see those things this year. And you know what? I believe in Justin Fry. I believe in Ryan Day. I believe in Kevin Wilson, the OC. I believe in Tony Alford and Brian Hartline. I believe in all of them. I believe they're going to get this unit where it needs to be. I believe that as all the coaches are going to assist with the offensive line and getting these guys moving the ball consistently down the field. So we'll probably see a more efficient and consistent running game this year. We'll probably see better protection for Stroud this year. And last year we saw two offensive linemen get drafted. Could it be more? Could we see Paris Johnson Jr., DeJuan Jones, maybe Matt Jones, maybe Luke Whipler goes out this year as well? Could we see all those guys go out and be drafted in the NFL draft? It's possible. It's to be determined, but it's possible. But ultimately, I think this unit will be better, and I do think it'll result in a few more guys being drafted, possibly one guy being drafted in the first round of the upcoming NFL draft. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Locked on Buckeyes. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at jstevens07. You can also send all of your emails to jstevens317@gmail.com. Thank you for making Locked on Buckeyes your first listen every day. Now is the perfect time to check out the Locked on Big Ten podcast. Know what your team is up against across the Big Ten with Locked on Big Ten. Everyday host Nate Dickinson and the local experts of Locked On take you across the Big Ten in 30 minutes. Make Locked On Big Ten your second listen. That is Locked On Big Ten, which is just like the Locked On Buckeyes podcast. They are both free and available across all platforms.